Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and you'll want to get your Bibles and turn to the epistle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll begin in just a moment in chapters 2, verses 3 and 4, and we'll talk about Paul's manner of preaching. Now, this is something that you need to listen to, especially when you're thinking about maybe trying to look for a preacher. Wouldn't it be good to have preachers like Paul? And preachers, we ought to learn to preach like Paul, not only in substance, but also with the kind of character that he had. And so we're going to be looking at that in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me read to you from the text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll read verses 3 through, let's see how far we want to. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 3 through 9. For our exhortation is not of error, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But even as we have been approved of God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who proveth our hearts. For neither at any time were we found using words of flattery, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor seeking glory of men, neither from you nor from others, when we might have claimed authority as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle in the midst of you, as when a nurse cherisheth her own children, even so, being affectionately desirous of you, we were well pleased to impart unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were become very dear to us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, working night and day, that we might not burden any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of Christ. It is well to study seriously, that's what Paul says in these and the following verses, and to act earnestly upon it. In exhorting, Paul and Silas taught, comforted, and encouraged. Paul gives motives which did not prompt him and Silas, not in error, nor to deceive, nor to lead them astray, and to cause them to wonder. In the greatest sincerity and deepest earnestness, Paul always sought to teach the truth. Persecution and even death may follow, but he regarded not such consequences. Nothing could induce him to deceive the people or cause them to error. Hence, he determined to know nothing save Christ Jesus and him crucified, and to preach him not in persuasive words of man's wisdom, 1 Corinthians 2, 1-4. He warns all preachers against preaching themselves, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, against science falsely so called, and all untaught questions and speculations, nor of uncleanness, he says, or for the purpose of gratifying fleshly lust with impure motives and carnal desires. We read in 2 Peter chapter 2 and in Jude verse 8 of those who speak in uncleanness as teachers, not in guile, nor in craftiness, nor in any way to deceive. Nothing did they did sprang from deceit. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. In all faithfulness to God, so we speak, true to God's accountable, true to God, accountable to God, and the honor of God, they preach the gospel. Even so, as we have been approved of God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak. Since God had proved of our hearts and deemed them worthy to preach the gospel, they would prove true to this trust and so live and preach as to please them. God had approved them by entrusting them with the gospel, by inspiring them to preach it in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance and in the miracles they performed. Not as pleasing men shows further their motive. They never preached to please men. No true preacher of the gospel has ever been governed by the motive of pleasing men. That motive destroys the preacher's sincerity and honesty and renders him unfaithful to God and unfit to preach the gospel to men. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or if I were still pleasing men, I should not be the servant of Christ, Galatians 1 in verse 10. What a striking and fearful contrast is Paul with his pure motives, his righteous determinations to preach nothing but the gospel of Christ, and to preach it all, his lofty purpose and his holy life, with the many false prophets of both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and hundreds of men-pleasing, time-serving preachers of today. As proof of the sincerity, honesty, and holy purpose of Paul and Silas and their efforts to be always pleasing to God, Paul says further that they did not at any time use words of flattery, a cloak of covetousness, or to seek glory of men. Words of flattery are means used by false teachers in order to ingrate themselves into the favor of people. Paul's always kind and considerate of others. Paul was always a gentleman because he was always a Christian and always adapted himself to the customs and circumstances of others. But he never flawed or flattered and was no sycophant. Politeness, courtesy, good manners, and respect for others at all times, both old and young, are parts of Christianity. But flattery is low and mean and the badge of hypocrisy. A cloak of covetousness is a pleasing outward appearance of seeking the good of others, worn to conceal the real inner motive of seeking money. Since Paul never used such a cloak, it may be inferred that others did, and the facts show that they did. Both Paul and Peter state that some made merchandise of the gospel or the churches, corrupting the word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17 is, in the margin, making merchandise of the word of God, turning it into a matter of gain, and in covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. 2 Peter 2 and verse 3. In this passage occurs the covetousness, the motive, the feigned words, the mean used, and the merchandise, the use of the churches for gain, to turn godliness into the way of gain. 1 Timothy 6:5. It is destructive to the churches and ruinous to the souls of all who do it. They were seeking the glory of men. Seeking the glory of men is seeking the favor and praise of men. No faithful and true preacher of the gospel seeks the applause of men. Paul preached neither for money nor for the glory of men. He who preaches either for money or for glory of men is unfit to preach the gospel of Christ. That is, he is not qualified to do so. His heart is not right in the sight of God. When we might have claimed authority as apostles of Christ means that as an apostle, Paul could have claimed a support for himself and Silas while preaching in Thessalonica. They had the right to a support and the right to claim it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and look also at verse 1 Corinthians 9, 11 and 12. But they did not use this right for the reasons Paul gives. Every faithful preacher and self-sacrificing worker in the Lord has the right to a liberal support. because God declares that the laborer is worthy of his hire, but no preacher will stop for lack of support. Instead of using this authority, Paul and Silas were gentle toward the Thessalonian Christians as nurses toward children. They were babes in Christ and needed to be nursed into strength and fuller service. Paul and Silas were the nurses. This work is greatly needed today. Preachers and teachers should nurse babes in Christ into full growth in the gospel, and should do so in the gentleness and self-denial exercised by Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas not only taught these Thessalonians the gospel to begin with, nursed them as babes, but risked their lives for them, or was pleased to impart into them their own souls, because these Thessalonian Christians were so dear to them. The Thessalonians remembered the labor and suffering of these heroic workers, working night and day, so as not to be a burden to anyone in Thessalonica. In other places, Paul worked with his own hands. As his own children, Paul exhorted and encouraged these Thessalonians and testified to them to the end that they should walk worthy of God who called them into his own kingdom and glory. Now with that, this Sunday school lesson comes to a close. And the next Sunday was the last Sunday for the quarter that they were using there in 1925. This is for the Sunday's schools of September the 27th, 1925. And it is a review lesson. You see, since July, through July, August, and September of that year, they'd been studying the early church, and they're going to continue to study this for that next quarter that will take them to the end of the year until we begin then in the year 1926. And I'm going to read the titles of the lessons that we've been studying, that they were studying in 1925. The Beginning of Foreign Missions, The Gospel in Antioch of Pisidia, The Gospel in Lystra, The Council at Jerusalem, The Epistle of James, The Beginning of the Second Missionary Tour, A Temperance Lesson, The Macedonian Call, Paul and the Philippian Jailer, Paul Writes to the Philippians, Paul in Thessalonica in Berea, Paul Writes to the Thessalonians, and then this review. What is coming in the fourth quarter is this: Paul in Athens, Paul in Corinth, Paul Writes to the Corinthians, Paul in Ephesus, The Fight Against Strong Drink. It's going to be another temperance lesson. Paul's Farewell at Miletus, Paul's Arrest in Jerusalem, Paul Before Felix, Paul Before Agrippa, Paul's Voyage in Shipwreck, Paul in Melita and Rome, Paul's Summary of His Life, and then another review of how the gospel had gone from Athens until Rome. Now, the lesson text that they say we should read here, let me turn back over, it's found in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which cometh upon you to prove you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, rejoice, that the revelation of his glory also you may rejoice with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are ye, because the Spirit of glory and of the Spirit of God resteth upon you. For let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a meddler in other men's matters. But if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and it first begin at us. What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? We'll see you in our next class.